Hey guys, hope you're enjoying today's online experience. Make sure to follow us on social media at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and on Instagram at Water's Edge_LC. And if you have a mobile device, make sure to go to your app store and download the church app, where then you can look for us under Water's Edge Gathering. From that point, you can give online, you can listen to worship, and you can also re-listen to the messages. So right now, I need you guys to just sit back and relax and enjoy a message from Pastor Tony.
Several years ago, I can remember I was talking with my dad. He was going to help me work through some personal issues and work through some spiritual issues. And I remember as we were talking on this very particular day, I asked my dad this question. I said, "Dad, is it normal? Is it normal for people to go through this? Is it normal for people to deal with that? Is it normal for people to struggle with things like this?" And my dad stopped me. He goes, "Normal for who?" He said, "We're talking about you, Tony, not other people. We're talking about you making the next right decision in your life. We're talking about you dealing with the next right thing in your life." And so the question we need to ask is this normal for you, not other people? There's this story in the Bible about a man named Jacob, and the scriptures say that he wrestles with a messenger from God. No one really knows who this messenger is. It could have been God himself or maybe just an angel from God. But regardless, they were wrestling hour after hour after hour by a riverbank. Finally, as day is breaking, the man that's wrestling with Jacob, this angel, this messenger from God, says, "Let me go." And then Jacob says, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And then the messenger says, "Well, tell me your name." Or in other words, tell me who you really are. Now, this question to Jacob, "What is your name?" It kind of has a history to it, because when we first meet Jacob, much earlier in this story, we see that he's trying to deceive his father. Back then, back in that culture, the father would always give the oldest son, the firstborn son, a blessing. And Jacob was trying to deceive his father because his father was old and blind and he couldn't see. Jacob's older brother Esau was very hairy. The Bible says that he was a hairy man. And so because Jacob's father couldn't see, Jacob one day put on some animal fur and he was pretending to be his older brother Esau so he could get this blessing. Well, as he goes to get the blessing from his father trying to deceive him, his father kind of recognizes that something is weird, something is off, something's a little bit odd. And so his father is going to ask this same question, but this is earlier in the story. "Who is this? What is your name?" Or basically, "Who are you?" And this is what Jacob says, "I am Esau." So when we first meet Jacob in this story, we see that he's trying to be someone else. Doesn't really like his life. He wants the life that someone else has. And so Esau finds out about this because Jacob deceived his father and he got Esau's blessing. So Esau threatens to kill Jacob. And so now Jacob has to leave. Now Jacob is on the run, running for his life. Now, in the ancient Near East, your name was more than just words. Your name was your identity, and your name was reflective of your character. Your name was reflective of your heart. Your name was reflective of your core, your substance, who you really were. It was the makeup that made you, you. Your name told who you are. And so when this angel is asking Jacob, "What is your name?" he's basically asking this: who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you know what your identity is? Who is this? What is your name? Who are you? And basically, the real question was this: do you know what you're trying to do with your life? Do you know the type of life that you're trying to live? Or are you caught in this trap of always comparing your life to what other people are going through, what other people have, and what you may not have? And I wonder how much pain in our life comes from not knowing how to answer this question for ourselves. What's your name? Who are you? Who are you really? I think that much pain that we have in this life, much suffering that we have in this life, comes from us not knowing how to answer that question. What is my identity in Christ? Who am I really? What does God want me to do? Who am I? Not too long after Easter, after the resurrection of Jesus, we find Jesus having a meal with his disciples. And during this meal, he's talking with Peter, and he's letting Peter know that Peter is going to be the leader of the disciples. And then at one point he says, Peter, I want you, if you love me, I want you to feed my sheep. And that was basically Jesus' way of saying, I want you to take care of my church, shepherd my church. And so Jesus gives Peter this calling, a purpose for his life, a reason to live, a reason to wake up and breathe. There's significance now. Now that emptiness is gone, he has a reason to live. He has purpose. And then he says to Peter, after all of that, he says, Peter, now I want you to continue to follow me. And so catch the scene. Right after the resurrection, right after the first Easter, Jesus again meets his disciples. They went fishing again by the edge of the water, right by the water's edge. He cooks them breakfast, some tilapia, really cool. And then after that, he starts having a conversation. Who do y'all think that I am? Who do y'all think that I am? All these kind of things. And then Peter answers with a really great, great answer. And then he says, Peter, if you really love me, I want you to feed my sheep. If you really love me, I want you to take care of my church. And then he says, Peter, I want you to follow me. And then when he says that to Peter, this is what Peter does. This is how Peter responds. Okay, Jesus, that's cool. But then Peter looks at John and says, but what about him? What about him? And when he says that, this is what Jesus says to him. Jesus replies, what is that to you? He has his life to live. You have your life to live. I'm not talking about him right now. I'm talking about you. You follow me. Kind of like when I was having that conversation with my dad. Hey, Dad, is it normal? Is it normal? And my dad said, what are you talking about? Is it normal? We're not talking about other people. We're talking about you. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to Peter, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked Jesus, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. John chapter 21, verses 19 through 22. Envy, jealousy, guilt, our past. So many times you and I take the focus off of the hand that we've been dealt in this life. We grow discouraged because of the fact that our life doesn't appear to be as lucky or fortunate as others. A peaceful heart brings healing to the body, but envy will rot your bones. Proverbs 14, 30. How much life do you and I lose when we endlessly compare our life to the other people around us? God knows who you are. God calls you by your name. And God wants to introduce your authentic story to this world. We can all relate to Peter, can't we? We all have this unique calling. We all have this unique purpose. We all have this unique path and life to live that God has given all of us. And Jesus invites all of us to step into our identity and to live our true self, to live our true authentic life. And yet we all get distracted at times, don't we? We all get hung up that our life is not like their life, that we don't have what they have, that somehow we're not as fortunate or lucky as other people. And we end up asking the wrong questions. We end up asking, okay, God, that's cool, I'll follow you, but what about her? Okay, Jesus, that's cool, I'll worship you, I'll serve you, and I'll follow you, but what about him? Or what about them? And I feel like Jesus has the same response to us as he did to Peter. What's that to you? I'm talking about you. You follow me. We're all different today. Some people are smarter, Some people are richer. Some people have different looks and different traits. Some people are given easier opportunities in this life, but that's just how it is. And we can never live our true life if we're constantly caught in this trap of always comparing ourselves to other people. Like it says in Proverbs chapter 14, a heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. There's this trap out there that we all fall into. God, I'll follow you, but what about him? What about them? Look at what they have. Look at what I don't have. Look at what they get away with. Look at what I don't get away with. Okay, God, I get it. You're talking to me. I'm gonna give my life to you, but I don't want anyone else around me to get away with anything. What about him? What about her? What about them? And the entire time, Jesus screams back to us, don't worry about them. What is that to you? I'm just talking about you. You follow me. Don't worry about their habits. You have your own that you have to deal with. Don't worry about their fears. You have your own that you have to deal with. Don't worry about their patterns. You have your own that you have to deal with. Don't worry about their politics. Don't worry about their relationships. Don't worry about their marriages. Don't worry about their struggles. You have your own to deal with. I realize sometimes it makes us feel better to compare our life to other people, because every time we do that, we compare our life to people that are not as good as we are. But compare your life to Jesus, and we all fall short. And so I get it that you are concerned about other people, but what is that to you? I'm saying you follow me. I wonder how much life do we lose when we endlessly compare ourselves to the people around us, when we're jealous of what someone else has or who someone else has or what we don't have compared to other people. The struggle of Jacob is the struggle of all of us. We are asked, what is your name? Who are you? Who are you really? But at some deep level, this is what that question is really asking us today. Are you willing to step into your identity in Jesus Christ? Are you willing to find out who God calls you to be? And are you willing to live that authentic life as you follow Jesus Christ? You and I all have a past. We all have different families that we come from. We all have different mistakes that we've made. And where we've been and what we've been through has shaped us into who we are today. And so we must learn to embrace our story, embrace our history, embrace our past, embrace our struggles. You don't have to be proud of all of it. Let me tell you something. I'm certainly not proud of all of mine, but I do own it. You don't have to be proud of all of it, but you do have to embrace it. You don't have to be proud of all of it, but stop making excuses for it. You don't have to be proud of all of it, but stop covering up. It makes you you. My past makes me me. As I look back at my past, there's victories there. That makes me me. But there's also failures and struggles and weaknesses there. There's been lessons that I've learned, and that all makes me me. As I look back on my life and the history of my life, some of it brings me joy. Some of it brings me pain. Some of it brings me happiness. Some of it brings me confusion. But I have to embrace all of it and own all of it, because it makes me me. God asked me, Tony, what is your name? Who are you? And this is always my answer. I am a child of God who's just trying my hardest to be real and authentic and genuine as I follow you. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be like other people. I don't want to pretend like I'm something that I'm not. I just want to be real. I just want to be authentic. And I just want my faith to be contagious. I want to make other people curious, because I'm a child of God who's trying my hardest to follow you. We have to claim it, because it's ours. And only when we claim our own history, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, that's when we can finally answer the question, what is your name? My name, he said, is Jacob. Do you ever wish you were someone else or something else, from that family instead of your own, with those talents instead of your own, in that relationship instead of your own, with that job instead of your own? Let me ask you a question. What is that to you? What is that to you? They have their own life. They have their own opportunities. They have their own struggles. They have their own victories. They have their own weaknesses. You have your own too. What is that to you? They have their own path, and so do you. So something I want us to understand today is this, and if you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. We all have limits. There's all sorts of things that we are, and there's all sorts of things that we are not. There's all kinds of people that we are not. And this is probably why Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself. Because until you learn how to accept your true, authentic life for what it is and love yourself, then you can never truly learn to love other people for who they are. Some people live their entire life caving to the expectations of other people. Some people live their entire life making decisions based off of what other people think of them, caving to other people's expectations. And then we live with this sense that it's never gonna get any better than this. You wanna know why? Because we keep living for other people besides God and ourselves. There's this moment by the river where Jacob finally answers the question. He says this, "I am Jacob. I'm done pretending. I'm done covering up. I'm done being fake. I'm done trying to create this image to put out into the world that says I'm something different than what I really am." Jacob has wrestled with God and Jacob has overcome. And right now at this moment by the riverbank, by the water's edge, he is okay with the life that God has called him to. As he finds himself struggling and trying to pick himself up again at the edge of the water, he's finally willing to say, "This is who I am. I don't want someone else's life. God has a life designed for me. God has a purpose designed for me. And I don't want anyone else's life. I know who I am and I'm okay with the card that God has dealt me." He's ready to be Jacob. And it's at this point where God finally uses him to be the father of a nation, the nation of Israel. Kind of like this, now that you're willing to admit who you are and now that you're okay with who you are in Christ, then I can use you. Now, in this life, when you meet someone that you don't know and they don't know you, what's the first thing that you normally do? You normally introduce yourself to them. If I don't know you and you don't know me and then we meet, then I'm gonna tell you my name. I'm gonna introduce myself to you. In the book of Revelation, it says this, that when people give their life to Jesus, it's like God takes this beautiful white stone and he writes a new name for you on that stone. Well, when people don't know your name, what do you do? You go out and you introduce yourself. Now, in light of all that, I have just two very real personal applications to take home with you this week based off of everything that we just talked about. The first one is this. Number one, embrace the life that God has given you. It may be more difficult than others. It may be more painful than others. It may be more confusing than others. And it may be more challenging than others. But at the end of the day, it is your life. Learn to own it and learn to embrace it. Because this is why. This is why. Because your story is evidence. Your life is your story. And the reason why you need to own it and embrace it is because your story is the evidence that God works. Your story is the evidence of resolve. Your story is the evidence of perseverance. Your story is the evidence of faith. And your story can be the evidence of forgiveness and life change. Who are you? Never be afraid to embrace your life and say, "I am Jacob." The second thing is this, introduce who you really are to this world, not who you want people to think you are. If your life isn't authentic, then your faith is not genuine. Now listen to this, if your faith is not authentic and genuine, then your faith will not make anyone else in this world curious about God and curious about your faith and curious about Jesus. And if your life and your faith is not making other people curious about God, then they don't want to know who God is or what God has for them. And so my final challenge is this, live your authentic life. Embrace the life that God has given you because this is what makes your faith contagious. This is what makes people say, "I want what you have," or "I'm interested in learning more of what you have," because you're just real. You're not like those other church people that I know. You're just real. One of the most dangerous things that we all deal with today, and if you don't mind, I'm gonna do a little preaching for a second. One of the most dangerous things that we deal with today as Christians is churchiness. It's like we just try to surround ourselves with churchiness and we want people to think that we're godly and holy when we're really struggling big time on the inside. And so we try to appear churchy and religious and it's not real and it's not authentic. How are you doing today? Well, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That's not real. That's not authentic. Talk about what you're going through. Talk about your victories. Talk about your struggles. Talk about your joys. But let you be you. Be real. Be authentic. When the world looks at you, the world is screaming for transparency from Christianity. What's your names? Not who you're pretending to be, but who are you really? Why do you love God in the midst of your struggles? Why do you continue to follow Jesus even though sometimes you can't feel him? Why do you continue to stay faithful to God even though all hell is breaking loose in your life? I'm not sure if I would want to do that. Are you sad sometimes? You are. I've never heard a Christian say that before. Are you depressed sometimes? You are. I've never heard a Christian say that before. Are you confused sometimes? You are. I've never heard a Christian say that before. You seem so real and genuine and authentic. You say that your name is Jacob and that's who you are. And so I want to know what's behind your story. I'm curious. I want to know if your faith is real because it seems like you're living a very authentic life. When we get to that place where we can drop all the games and all the comparison and all the religion and all the churchiness and just be who God made us to be, that's when the watching world says, man, I want what you have. And everyone look right here on your couches, wherever you're watching from, look right here. What we're going through right now is no time for you and I to start pretending. It's no time for us to compare ourselves to other people. It's no time for us to be divided right now at all. Everyone in the world right now is going through a difficult, difficult, confusing, scary time. And the one thing the world needs right now from the church is not a bunch of judgment or self-righteousness or anything like that. The one thing that the world needs to see from the church right now is that they are real people with real victories and real struggles and real hopes and real dreams and real failures and real weaknesses, but they keep getting back up anyway. I want to know why. I'm curious. And when we get to that point, that's when our faith becomes contagious like a pandemic. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for being good to us. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for calling us by our name and giving us our own identity. Today we embrace it and we live our authentic life. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. And all God's people said, thank you for tuning in. We love you. Look for our leadership videos on Monday and our teaching session on Wednesday. Have a great week.
We want to thank you so much for joining us for today's online experience. If you found this experience encouraging, or if you have a prayer request, make sure you drop that in the comments down below. If you want to further partner with Water's Edge, there's four simple ways to do so. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text the word give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount, and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give within the app. Make sure you download the church app and search Water's Edge Gathering. From there, click on give and you can give your tithes and offerings from within the church app. Or you can give through the mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys. Hope you guys have a great week.